You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As a listener, you know BFM is independent and largely driven by its volunteers. This is no more true than in the 95BFM newsroom, where our journalists astound me every day with their thought, hard work and ability to live up to large media outlets, despite being unpaid, younger in years and given far less resource. I thought for the final piece of the year, I would share just some of the work the news team has done by rounding up some of the incredible coverage they have and continue to create.
You're tuned into The Wire.
BFM News.
Ata Maria, good morning. Ko Jemima Houston toku ingoa.
Ko Justin Wong toku.
Tēnā koutou katoa. Ko Mary Margaret Slack toku ingoa. Nau mā haere mai ki Te Wire mō tēnā.
It has been a year for women and highlighting sexual assault and sexual harassment. Conversations about accountability have deepened this year with the hashtag MeToo movement gaining traction on social media and in traditional media. Darsh Preacher Howell spoke to Marmari Stevens, senior lecturer at the School of Law at Victoria University, about the importance and effect of media discourse in defining such issues.
Can you just give me a brief rundown of what the terms sexual harassment, sexual assault, and sexual misconduct mean?
So sexual assault is a really, really wide term. So it can cover something still unwanted, but certainly not of the nature of unlawful sexual connection or sexual violation or rape down the other end of the spectrum. So it's really important, I think, to understand that as far as the law is concerned, sexual assault is a very, very broad umbrella term and covers a whole wide range of behaviours.
So why is it important to use the correct term when describing or reporting an incident?
Well, I guess it's because different consequences come into play. So, for example, if you're talking about sexual assault, that's a criminal matter.
A lot of coming out with their own stories and experiences. Mm. We also know that there's really no specific category of what their abuse should be. As you've been saying, it's very broad and I guess it's all about their experience. I just want to know, what are the implications of, categorising survivors of sexual abuse into, a specific group?
Also very much in the headlines this year was the University of Auckland's decisions to dissolve several specialty libraries. We heard in-depth interviews from Lachlan about the importance of the Fine Arts Library and the establishment of the Samoa House Project.
It's so important that we have a space that exists specifically for fine arts research and art historical research as well, because those spaces don't exist in many places in the world in the current climate that there is towards the arts. There's just not enough funding, which needs to change.
Because it is the biggest of its kind in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yes, it's one of the most significant collections in the Southern Hemisphere. It's certainly the most significant collection in New Zealand.
I spoke with Catherine O'Camp about the Samoa House Project, a new space for the arts community opening up on Kay Road.
We needed to reevaluate the state of the campaign and think about how we would proceed into the future. Achieving what we want it to achieve, which is just being something really positive for the communities that have been affected so negatively this year.
Interest in the free speech debate exploded internationally and hit the shores of Aotearoa specifically with the arrival of Lauren Southern and Stephen Molyneux. This was a topic which spouted many conversations within the news team around how to define such abstract and seemingly objective concepts. Our news director Lillian spoke to Dr. Cornell West on the matter.
The past few weeks in New Zealand has seen the conversation around free speech, and I'm putting free speech in quotation marks, which we can touch on later maybe, but that free speech has basically erupted here. Could you first explain why exactly you're engaging in a conversation which could be harmful towards certain groups of society in some way and may not reach a consensus? I'm wondering what you're hoping to get out of that conversation.
No, I think I always think it's a good idea to be able to wrestle with folk you disagree with. You can both expose the degree to which they're tied to have truths and even lies, or ways in which your argument and vision can be strengthened. There's a sense in which you are as strong as your critics. And so it's very important that we be able to have some serious and substantive dialogues that are
and
critical.
And how do you ensure that respect is upheld?
Because the only thing you have is accountability. If there's disrespect, then you make people accountable. All we have is accountability.
There has been a push for change in policy this year. Reforms for marijuana, drug addiction and abortion law have all moved forward in the way we think about and treat certain issues.
Tory Party leader Simon Bridges said he would not support an unthought-through bill. Chris Fowley, the spokesperson of National Organisation for the Reform of Marijuana Law.
If they're coming from a position of wanting to help patients, then get on with it and help. The definition of CBD, of cannabidiol, that they have in the bill is quite narrow, and it restricts it to only a few available products in the world that are very expensive. So that doesn't seem to be a great step forward. That could easily be amended to allow health supplement type products like are commonly available in Europe and North America.
The conversation around abortion in particular, that obviously has been in the news recently and being talked about by the government because there are proposed reforms. And
basically, I think that the state of abortion rights and abortion access in New Zealand is really embarrassing. And it makes me angry that it's taken this long for Parliament to even seriously put it on the table.
That was just a little taste of some of the coverage we've done over the year. I also sent out a quick word to some of the Wire hosts with asking for stories which stood out to them. These are the pieces they enjoyed or were proud of or remembered the most. Lachlan said his interview on Needle Exchange program earlier in the year. Mary Margaret said she did an interview with a contemporary dancer who was choreographing a political show. In international news, shout out to Justin and Connor for such passionate and in-depth coverage from around the world. And Jemima said her coverage on the inclusion of cultural reports for court sentencing having a positive effect on Māori. She also shouted out Damien and his piece on sexual harassment in the music industry, and big ups to him. You can read his work from next year in the Invercargill Times. So BFM volunteers doing amazing work. Love being associated with all of you guys.
And we love being associated with you, Jen. That was brilliant.
Thank you.
95 BFM Podcasts. 95 BFM is supported by our listeners. Sign up for a Simplicity B card at 95bfm.com/signup and support independent media from $4.20 a month.